The word today is Zion. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. The temple in Jerusalem was central to Jewish worship in Jesus' day. At that time, it was also called Zion. Jesus taught that the temple was going to be replaced by none other than himself. Here to explain how Jesus significantly changed the nature of worship is Bible educator Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Zion.
Sometimes you can just tell that things are never going to be the same again, that it's the end of an era, and that there's change coming. That was the way it was when one day, as Jesus was leaving the temple facilities, the temple complex in Jerusalem, in Matthew chapter 24, it talks about this, and as he was walking away from the temple, it says his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. And this is what Jesus says. Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. That must have been an unbelievably startling comment for the disciples of Jesus to hear. The temple was a fantastic structure. It was massive. It had taken almost 50 years for the completion of this facility. It was giant. It ran several football fields or soccer fields long in length, in size, of the giant platform on top of Mount Zion where it had been built. And in fact, Mount Zion, the hill in Jerusalem where the temple had been built, came to represent God's presence. It came to represent God's home, as it were, in the world. The temple was built to indicate to the people that this is where God dwells, that this is a holy nation, and God is at the center of this nation. And then Jesus comes along with a shocking statement, and he says, you look around, you check out these massive stones. By the way, I've been to Israel, and I've been down to the Wailing Wall, to the foundation of the Temple Mount. And the stones are incredibly long. If my memory serves me correct, some of those stones were 12 or 15 feet long, possibly longer. They were giant, weighing tons and tons. And all of the stones were quarried off-site and shaped and dressed off-site. And then they were brought to the temple and fitted in place without the sound of hammer, without chiseling, because this was a holy place. It was to be sacred. And so the work conditions were different than just slapping together some other building. And the temple, with all of its fantastic grandeur and the gold inside the temple, and Jesus indicating it's all going to be obliterated. What a shocking thought. And I'm sure the disciples were dismayed and thinking, no, God, please don't let this happen. And yet, they knew that Jesus spoke truth. They knew that Jesus didn't just throw out hollow words. He didn't just say flippant things, and they'd seen way too many times how when Jesus said something that seemed incredible, sure enough, it came to pass. So they had to have been concerned and realized it's going to happen. And in fact, history shows, of course, that Jesus was correct. In the year 70 AD, not long after Christ had ascended into heaven, the Roman commander of the army, Titus, did destroy the temple. And it's thought that possibly the temple was not a part of the target and it was not meant to be destroyed, that he was fighting against the Jews, and that, according to one account, an errant arrow found its way, a burning arrow found its way to the temple and started the fire that eventually destroyed it. Well, it doesn't matter how it happened. Jesus' words were fulfilled. And it was a sign of the eternal truth that all things earthly come to an end, and that the temple had fulfilled its purpose. The temple in the Old Testament times, where Solomon, the king of Israel who built the first temple, built it as a place of glory and worship for God. And there was all kinds of celebration and sacrifices of animals for sins. And there were psalms that were composed, songs of the Old Testament, sort of like hymns, that were sung by the people as they would go up to worship. And the temple was like the crown jewel of Israel. But the temple was only intended to serve a purpose that was temporary. And that was to handle the prayers and the sins of the people until a better replacement would come. And in fact, Jesus understood that because he was the replacement for the temple. In fact, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says point blank, "One greater than the temple is now here." He was referring to himself. And at another time, when Jesus was discussing, I think it might be that same account where Jesus was discussing David and his men going through the grain fields and picking grain and eating it on the Sabbath. And Jesus turns it into a discussion of his importance, of Jesus' importance. And he says that he is Lord of the Sabbath. Those are phenomenal statements. Jesus is making a claim to be greater than the very structure that was dedicated for worship to God, the one true God. And now Jesus is saying he supersedes this. In fact, if you want to get right down to it, Jesus lays out the fact that he is more important than the temple ever was, and that he, in fact, is going to be the basis or the place where people will have to come, where people will bring their sacrifices to God, of their worship and their commitment to God, and where they will pray to the Lord God through Christ, through accessing him. Jesus comes into that same temple, and this is another sign that things had gotten kind of rotten, that things were not as they should be. The temple was turned into a marketplace by the time of Jesus, and there was a lot of buying and selling of animals, and it's thought that people were being taken advantage of during the major festivals because they would travel from distant places without the animals needed for sacrifice, and then the market would sell them at inflated prices. But the market was set up in the outer courtyard of the temple, if you can imagine this. Mixing industry with worship, so to speak, not too good of a deal. And so Jesus makes a whip of cords in John chapter 2, and he drives out these people. If you can just imagine Jesus snapping the whip and chasing them out like cattle. And Jesus says in verse 16 of John 2, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" You can just imagine the anger seething in his heart against this corruption of this place of prayer. And then when Jesus is challenged and some of the Jews demand of him, "What miraculous sign will you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus says, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." And that's when the Jews say, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" They had no concept what he was talking about. In fact, probably the majority of people didn't understand. But here in the text it explains. But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, and mind you, we're taught in the Gospels that Jesus was raised on the third day. And after he'd been raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Mount Zion is the hill on which this all took place. It was the scene or the site of the glorious temple of God. That temple was only temporary. It was not intended to last forever. The Lord God knew that sacrifices of animals would not need to continue on to eternity. Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice for sin, would come. He would offer himself on Mount Zion. He would be the ultimate payment for sin. And as he had said, his temple, his body was destroyed, and it was raised on the third day as evidence to show that he is more important than any earthly facility, any earthly temple. There is no place in this world that is more important to meet with God than you meeting with Jesus in prayer. You can bow down at any facility, any structure, and not be accepted. Your prayers will not be accepted if they are not in the name of Jesus. Christ is the new place to meet God. The new temple, the new Jerusalem, so to speak, the new Zion, is for the believer in Christ. And here we meet with God. We meet with Jesus. I look forward to the picture and the image in Revelation chapters 21 and 22 about a new Zion, a new heaven and earth, a new city where all of God's people who have loved Jesus and come to him will be able to fellowship with him in his presence, in the presence of God. It's a joy to consider. It's something that you need to share with your friends. You need to encourage them that they bow down to Jesus, that they receive him. Come to him in prayer with your heart, with your mind, wherever you are, wherever you live. If you don't have a church to worship in, bow down before him and commit your heart and mind to Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're in a valley, a desert, a forest, a mountain, wherever you are, you come to the Lord Jesus because he is your place of worship. He is your God and your King, and recognize him and give him the glory that is due his name.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.